Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
The very handsome Jewish man, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Can I just say one thing, Don?
Sure.
You're not Don.
It stands,
but it's Don. Not!
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Wouldn't it be a K-show party miracle if Edith just came walking into the party? Wouldn't that be awesome?
That'd be something.
If who walked in?
Edith.
Oh, yeah.
What if Morris walked in?
I think that would be a miracle.
That would actually, you're saying that would be an actual miracle?
Yeah.
Like walking on water.
It would be big.
We should give a shout out to Barbara and Spike and some of our other Florida listeners who are bracing for the hurricane. Hopefully everything will be all right.
Yes, absolutely. We will get to some things about the hurricane here shortly, but sending them the best. Let's start off by saying good evening to Michael.
That's Pitt Kirk.
Let's say good evening to Don.
This guy couldn't pick lint out of his navel.
Oh, hurtful.
Good evening to Don again.
But he didn't call me Michael Don.
To Michael or myself.
Maybe I'm smart.
No. And lastly to myself.
Thank you.
That was very underrated.
Thank you.
Oh, that was when Michael was complimenting me in a horrible way. Insulting me, I mean.
Those were compliments.
Thank you.
Let's start with the New York Giants. We've been talking about them quite a bit. Might as well stay here. Giants not only lose the game last night, a divisional game to the Cowboys, but they also lose their longest tenured player, Sterling Shepard, another injury. Here's Brian Daboll on the Shepard injury.
Yeah, ACL. Got that news just about 15 minutes ago in the doctor's meeting. And again, reiterate what I said yesterday. He's a tremendous person. He worked so diligently to get back, and you know, feel terrible for him that he had that injury. You know, he's a big part of our team, and we'll miss him out on the field.
Daniel Jones on the Shepard injury.
Yeah, it's just real tough to see that for sure. You know, a guy worked so hard and battling back from an injury last year, and yeah, I feel for him as a teammate, as a close friend, and yeah, it's tough to see.
You almost have to wonder, Don, about the turf at MetLife. So many people have gone down by the turf monster. He wasn't touched. A lot of people have complained about this. Is it the turf? We've seen it happen a lot.
I know, but how do you think the turf? It just seemed like he just was running normally. He didn't slide. Didn't seem like a misstep.
Right. So it's probably the turf is unforgiving. I don't know.
I don't know either. There's a lot of guys who are falling down. Even on that play, Sills fell down. So I can understand that maybe there's some issue. I know Daboll was asked about it.
He said he was.
Probably investigate after the season, right, Peter?
Yeah, he was asked about it. Let's hear from Daboll on the turf.
No, I know there's been a lot of studies, not just here, but probably in every stadium. I think, again, look, you look at Shep's injury, he was jogging. So, you know, I'm sure that, you know, throughout the season and the off season that we'll sit down and discuss, you know, those type of things. Yeah.
Didn't really understand there at the end there. Didn't really make any sense, but.
It's a shame.
Yeah, it's really, really sad. Shepard seems like a great guy. Here is Brian Daboll again being asked what he said to Evan Neal after a rough game.
Keep your head up. You get ready to work next week. You know, we all have days that are plays that we wish we could have back. You go back, you work on it, and you get better. You get ready for next week.
How about that Golladay drop yesterday?
Terrible. Oh. He that wants the ball thrown to him, and then he drops a ball for the first down.
Listen, I know the guy has not been good. I almost felt bad for him. Like, you finally get a spot where you get a ball right in the chest and just throw it on the ground. Here's Brandon Jacobs on with KJM earlier, saying Daniel Jones didn't really have a chance last night.
Dallas defensive line, they got after Daniel Jones. The man got sacked six times, had 23, 24, 25 pressures. We just couldn't block them up front on D-line. They pinned their ears back, and they just came. And it was nothing we could, you know, we could have done about it. Everybody wanted to point the finger and blame Daniel Jones for everything, because that's the easiest thing that you can do is blame the quarterback for the success of the team.
They certainly seem like they like him, you know. They do stick up for him.
You mean the Giants nation?
Giants themselves, too. Like, they're all saying, we didn't do number eight right. We didn't do eight right. And, you know, you didn't hear that kind of love about Sam Darnold when he was at the Jets. I think this team actually really likes this guy.
And they should. He's a good guy. And I think he could be a decent quarterback. But he'll forever be graded on the curve of being the sixth overall pick. I think the attitude about him, like I said earlier in the show, if he was your backup quarterback and had to come in because your starter got hurt, you'd be in love with this guy and be begging him to start. But he's the sixth overall pick, and they didn't pick up his fifth-year option, and a lot goes into that.
Jacobs also went on KJM to say the Giants wide receiver situation is a problem.
I'm here. I'm trying to figure out what's going on with Kenny Golladay. I've been trying to figure this out for the last 2 weeks now. I don't know what's wrong. I haven't seen much. I know Tony's been banged up. I think a little hamstring he had in training camp. I don't know. I wish we had more wide receiver play, you know, take some pressure off of Saquon and make Daniel Jones' job a little easier. I mean, the guys he's throwing to, man, not too many people has ever heard of him. But at the end of the day, man, you know, you need a core at the wide receiver group, and you need that one bell cow. We don't have that.
Not wrong, and they're now one wide receiver worse after losing Sterling last night. We mentioned the hurricane, Ian, and it is expected to impact a lot of different sports situations. The Mets have a weekend series with the Braves in Atlanta that, of course, could decide the NL East and could also be impacted by Hurricane Ian, which is supposed to make landfall in Florida on Friday and hit Georgia shortly thereafter. They're currently scheduled to play at 7:20 on Friday, 7:20 Saturday, and 7 p.m. on Sunday. According to CBS 46 in Atlanta, rain is expected to move into Georgia throughout the day on Friday, with the biggest impact late Friday night through early Saturday. 2 to 5 inches of rain expected in northern Georgia on between Friday and Sunday. Also, wind gusts up to 39 miles an hour. Both the Mets and Braves are off Thursday, so in theory, guys, they could start the series on Thursday night and try to get ahead of the storm.
So I'm surprised they haven't announced that already. Because if you're so concerned about the sellout that the Braves have, give the fans notice. It's only Tuesday to buy tickets up. It's supposed to be a gorgeous day on Thursday. Just play the two.
Listen, I know that this is a business, okay? And so the Braves are going to lose money if they cancel the games when they're supposed to be played. But the games now are the thing. Let Major League Baseball make up the money they'll lose. The games are the thing. The way the playoffs are set up now, you can't move them. So if you think it's going to be a problem playing the games, move the games to a dome stadium. Move the games to Thursday. There are things that you can do. It's been done before. 2017, Yankees were supposed to play the Rays. There was a hurricane in Florida, and they decided Major League Baseball had those games played at Citi Field. It can happen. I'm not saying playing the games at Citi Field where the Mets would get an advantage. Play the games in Phoenix. Play the games in Houston. Play the games in Arlington. Anywhere with a dome. But don't even try to play it this weekend. You're going to just jack everything up.
But here's the thing. You got a gorgeous day on Thursday. So play two. And then you got two of the games out of the way. And then you don't have to. Then you only have one game to make up. And what's the worst case scenario? Oh, then it ends up being the storm goes in a different direction. You've got gorgeous days on Saturday and Sunday, and you're not playing. Okay. But otherwise, you're going to have to. Do you really want two or three days to get two games out of the way? And then make the announcement now so you can sell as many tickets as you can. Day night doubleheader on Thursday.
It's a great point, Don. You get the two in on Thursday. Then if you just luck out a little bit, you're able to get another one in over the weekend.
Yeah, baseball, they drag their feet because Michael said it best. They're afraid of the embarrassment of that it ends up being not bad and you could be playing. But tell the players that you're going to get an extra couple of days off. Nobody likes the day-night doubleheader. Nobody likes to play two games. But then maybe you can squeeze the game in on Friday afternoon before the storm gets bad. And then guess what? You've got Friday night, Saturday, Sunday off. Mets could leave Atlanta, go home, rest, have a rare weekend off to prepare for the final series of the season.
And well, let me ask you this, Don. When did Scherzer and DeGrom last pitch?
Oh, well, see, DeGrom obviously pitched Saturday. So
and
it was
Scherzer on Sunday, right?
Scherzer on Sunday, right.
So, I mean, I think Major League Baseball, with the Thursday thing, they want to be fair to the Mets. I mean, Scherzer can't start either the first two games. I guess DeGrom can because he pitched on Saturday.
DeGrom
can. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That would be 4 days. That would be normal. But you'd be losing one of your best pitchers pitching one of the first two games in a series that is going to decide who's going to win the NL East.
But you could also have a situation, Michael, where you try to fit the game in on Sunday, and then it starts to rain, and then the starting pitcher can't go because he threw two innings and can't come back after a two-hour rain delay. I understand. Sometimes there's nothing you can do, all right, except the best you can do. And you've got
that's a quote, too, Michael.
The perfect Thursday, beautiful day, at least get two of the games. I don't mean to say out of the way, but wouldn't it be better? And the worst-case scenario is that they could have played? I think people would understand it. They'd get it. Atlanta would get their two gates, and you'd only have one game to possibly have to make up.
Right.
Which, you know, drag their feet, and now what ends up happening, they'll announce it tomorrow, Peter, that they're playing, and there'll be less of a chance to sell the ticket on it.
There are other teams affected right now, and other decisions are being made because of Hurricane Ian. The Tampa Bay Bucks are relocating their football operations to the Dolphins training complex in Miami starting on Wednesday because the storm is going to impact the Tampa area and not Miami. The Tampa Bay Lightning have postponed their preseason home games Wednesday and Thursday. USF and East Carolina, which were supposed to play in Tampa on Saturday night, will instead play in Boca Raton on 2:30 at 2:30 Saturday afternoon. The South Carolina State game scheduled for Saturday has been rescheduled for Thursday. Florida Eastern and Washington football game scheduled for Saturday has been rescheduled for Sunday. So, Don, to your point, you can figure it out. There are ways to get this done.
But everybody wants to figure it out so it's all fair for everybody. Well, so the thing that cannot be sacrificed is the integrity of the games. All right, do you really want to play, Michael and Peter, a meaningful game in 30 mile-per-hour wind gusts and rain delays and maybe a compromised field that they might be able to get or just play two on Thursday? To me, it's just a no-brainer.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Miles Garrett has been released from the hospital after a scary-looking one-car crash in his Porsche. He suffered non-life-threatening injuries while driving on a rural road following practice on Monday. He had been taken to the hospital with an unidentified female passenger. His playing status for this weekend in Atlanta is unknown. Mac Jones has an ankle situation and is likely to miss several games, according to Adam Schefter. Doctors have diagnosed it as a severe high ankle sprain that would cause many to have surgery. Jones and the team are still discussing the options and the best way to proceed.
You know, it's funny, people say, you know, like with Quincy Williams, well, we dodged a bullet. We thought it might have been broken. But instead, it's a bad high ankle sprain. I've talked to people in baseball for years. They say sometimes it's preferable to have it broken. It heals quicker. High ankle sprains are bears. Mm. They don't get better in a hurry. They just don't.
So we could be getting a heavy dose of Brian Hoyer for your New England Patriots.
Are they done?
I mean, this doesn't help. And I don't think they're a special team to start out with. A Belichick team is always going to be a gritty team. but they're not a super talented team.
Now, Hoyer,
now I was thinking about this when I was in the car the other day, driving, because that's where I do my thinking.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
You're a big thinker.
I love to drive, by the way. But let's say Belichick has another bad year. Does he keep the job as long as he wants, or does Kraft go, okay, that's enough? I mean, would he ever think about getting rid of a guy who's won 6 Super Bowls? Would he ever think, okay, your expiration date has happened? Or is he stuck with him for as long as Belichick wants to be there?
When you say stuck, like, I think if it came down to where I think I could win more with another coach, but is it really that, or just, hey, I don't have anything special at quarterback? Team's in transition right now. Wouldn't you rather transition with Bill than bring in some hotshot assistant that you don't know anything about?
But Bill Belichick is also the GM. So the way the team is on Bill Belichick. I mean, so if you don't have a special quarterback, Mac Jones was a first-round pick. If he's not a special quarterback, then Bill made a mistake with him.
Well,
that is a unique circumstance.
But that wasn't like he was the first overall pick.
He was 15th, right?
Yeah, wasn't it was mid-round first pick. I mean, I think it was, yeah, you'd like it to be special. I don't know if anybody really thought he was going to be special or they needed a quarterback and they took their chance on him. I would probably have a conversation about maybe him relieving himself of the GM duties.
I think you'd have a better chance of him relieving himself of the coaching duties. He's not going to make a dinner without buying the groceries, as Bill Parcells said.
Let's not talk about him relieving himself anymore. Guys, did you get a look at the pictures moving around of Zion Williamson?
No.
Yep.
You haven't looked on?
I've not.
Oh,
is
boy.
Is he doughy?
No.
What's the exact opposite of that?
Oh, I'm a really? Big boy.
Oh, man.
Chisel.
He looks... The pseudo-bullying he sort of took for his shape last year is going to make a lot of people in the NBA unhappy this coming season, it looks like. I mean, he looks just absolutely jacked.
Hopefully he stays healthy.
Well, you wonder how related that is, right? I mean, him being, if he's in great shape, how much better is the likelihood that he can take care of himself better? But, man, I would love to see an absolutely full-strength Zion Williamson and see what he's capable of, because we really haven't seen it. It doesn't feel like we've gotten tastes of it, and you can tell he's amazing. But, guys, we haven't had – do you remember the level of – I mean, I know I don't want to embarrass myself here. Do you remember the level of excited I was about Zion Williamson? It had me pulling for Duke.
Which is unbelievable.
I mean, pulling's a strong way of verbalizing it, but I was very dialed into their games. Now, the Nets picked up Markieff Morris this offseason. And he spoke to the media about joining the Nets and about the drama with KD.
Like I said before, you know, Brooklyn was was a top team the whole summer. Actually, that was my number one phone call right up until what happened with Kevin. But, you know, man, just that's the NBA, man. You break up with a girlfriend, you get back with her. Same shit. You have your differences until you figure it out. I broke up with my wife a couple times. We still married. It works. You know, sometimes you need space to figure some things out. Works, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, but they didn't get space. They never moved out.
Right. They
like
didn't
he
get that
he called his wife awful names and never left the room.
Right. They just sat there and stared at each other.
They stared at each other. How did it get better? You know what I was reading what he said yesterday, that you know we didn't have any respect on the court for each other. I think he was upset that when he was out for those 10 games that the team collapsed, and I think he blames that on Nash, and they've supposedly spoken, and that it won't happen again. But that's going to be something to watch, because I don't think the days of Kevin Durant demanding to be traded are over.
You think there's another demand this year?
I think that if things go south, he's going to ask again.
Let's talk New York Knicks. Tom Thibodeau spoke about his team, and specifically Evan Fournier being the front runner for starting point shooting guard.
We need shooting. You know, the one thing that I know is that with Jalen, with RJ, with Julius, we have to put shooting around them, right? Mitch will give us pressure on the rim. That's what will force the defense to collapse. And so Evan's proven, I thought the second half of last year he played really well. So we have good depth at that position. We'll see how everything unfolds.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, wasn't he like he was gone? Like, I don't think any Knick fan thought that he was going to still be
no.
here, right?
I think everyone assumed he was a piece that would be gone. He also, Thibodeau was also asked how he plans to utilize Julius Randle and Obi Toppin.
The best thing about young players is they can get better, and they have. Our young guys are they're gym rats, and so when you get guys like that, they get better, and then you play the guys. It's based on performance, who fits best together. It's not fantasy basketball. It's what makes the group work best. So that's what we'll do, you know. And I like the way he's growing. We got to get the best out of everyone.
When was it? Was it Barrett that said they're going to shock the world? What does that mean? What would be shocking the world to you, Peter, for the Knicks? Making the playoffs, conference final? Is he talking about winning the championship? Because what are your expectations for the Knicks? I mean, I guess you have to make the playoffs.
If they were more than 10 games above 500, I don't know if that's shock, but it comes close.
Well, I mean, you made some moves. You got to feel like you're a better team than you were last year. So what does that look like?
Don, shocking the world for the Knicks. How about this? They go 50-32.
Well, 50-32, I would think.
That's shocking the world.
That's at least a six seed. I think 50-32 clearly avoids the play-in.
Oh, 50-32, they could be the four seed.
What you're saying is you get back to what you were the year before.
That's better. No, that's better than they were the year before.
But they were a four seed when they lost to Atlanta.
Right. But
so, yeah, so that you know, whatever the record is, if you're a four seed, home court advantage, first round of the playoffs, so you would then be saying that they'd be playing in the second round. I think he's probably, when he says shock the world, he's not saying we're going to be in the second round. I think he means more than that.
Hey, Don, Mike Puma just tweeted, to your point about how baseball handles things, from what I'm hearing, the Braves believe the only iffy day for baseball this weekend will be Saturday. If that game were to get postponed, a split doubleheader Sunday between the Mets and the Braves.
I was looking at the forecast, and it does seem to jive there, where the percentages are like 30-40% chance, I think, of rain on Sunday. So I guess that's what they kind of are waiting for.
But still, I still sort of like your idea of being proactive and getting ahead of it if you had the opportunity.
Again, what's the negative? The negative is, oh my God, it's a beautiful day on Sunday and there's no game to be played. Oh my God. So I'm looking at again, gorgeous day Thursday. 74 is a high, mostly sunny. Friday, PM showers, 51% chance of rain, 16 mph winds. Saturday complete washout. Now I'm looking at Sunday. Looks like Sunday can happen. So I would play the doubleheader on Thursday, and then you play the one game on Sunday, and just avoid having to deal with anything on Friday or Saturday.
I think it's a good idea. Let's hear from Buck Showalter, who says he's not overthinking the weather situation in Atlanta.
It's about Pablo Lopez and the Marlins tonight. That's as far as we're going. And that's as far as those type of things, weather and this. Obviously, it's been talked about. It has to be. And it started, you know, on the plane on the way home. But nothing that gets in the way of what we have to do tonight. And then we get through it tonight. Well, tomorrow, I think there's going to be some moving things. I think from my concern and Billy's concern and Jeremy's concern is making sure that we position ourselves to go in as many directions as we can and not get tied up into this and all of a sudden something happens and you got to be careful about making too many plans, but you do need to create some versatility in what you're able to do and not do, and that's the one advantage of the off days. But you also at some point need to tell pitchers, you know, as far as work days and all those other things. But I guarantee you something will happen over the course of tonight that will change the way we look at it. It's happened every day. So I mean, look, let's be frank, we're somewhat adults here. We know what's going on with, but I really don't want to put a focus on that because our guys have done a great job of staying on task, and we've got to task one of the better pitchers in the league tonight. We've got to be on top of it.
That was a segment of his audiobook. So looking at the forecast, again, gorgeous on Thursday. Now, here's the Friday breakdown. Mostly cloudy early with showers developing later in the day. Winds 20 mph, chance of rain 50%. Then nighttime, 90% chance of rain. So you really, I think it's dicey on Friday. And then Saturday's a washout. Now, if it's okay on Sunday, why can't you bare minimum announce right now, today, so the fans can buy tickets and everybody's prepared, we are going to play a night game on Thursday. Get a game out of the way. Then if we have Friday and Saturday are washouts, then guess what? You play the doubleheader on Sunday, day night.
You're making sense, Don. Right. That'll do it for ENN on this Tuesday, September 27th. We open the phone lines to anything and everything. It's all on the
Yay!
Table. Yeah, what did LT say? We don't know. 1-800-919-3776. Peter and Don on the K-Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.